Charlie.
He had something else he couldn't come up with.
Okay. Okay. As you can tell, we're trying to go a little quicker through the rest of the first parak, which is, you know, even more very tangential issues, but some of them are very intriguing nonetheless. I think we left off last month at the bottom of Yud Dalet Amud Beis. Tashma, Damar Rabbi Yehuda. We're still trying to prove whether asu or lo asu, right? Tashma, the Amar. We skipped around a little, but this is where we left off. Damar Rabbi Yehuda Menuri Heichalachas or Rebachas Yisrael. Nasir, right? What are we gonna? So how are we gonna spread this? Nasir the Beis Shammai Vlad Mamzer the Beis Hillel. Because according to Beis Shammai, the Tsaris Erevah can do Yibam, which is Eishasach, and the Vlad is a Mamzer. According to Beis Hillel, Nasir the Beis Hillel Havlad Pogim the Beis Shammai. If we do according to Beis Hillel, we let the Tsaris Erevah marry Nishuk, so she's violating a lav, and the her kids are the kids of Chayvi Lav, which is a pagam. The nature of this pagam we'll come back to next time. First, we have to get through Tesvav and Beis. According to Beis Shammai, let's take his word for it. So, bone attacking them. Let's say she holds us lomas yavnos. Let's make it tachana drabban, and we should be yotzei both dayos. Tzara should do chalitza, and they were about to enact that legislation. But lo espiku ligmar sadavar should nitrefa hashad. Somehow it got ruined because amrle rashbag ma nasal matzoros or shonos me'ata. Right, he says not a fair takana because what are you going to do with the people until now? So what does he mean by this? Iyam Rabbi Shlomo Asu, Hainukam Rabbi Manasseh. If Beisham were Asu, then I understand. All these kids, now that we make this unified Takana, are going to be Mamzerim. And if we unify people, we're going to make these kids into Mamzerim. That's not a good solution. Eli, or Lo Asu, my Manasseh. If Beisham didn't do Kedivrei him, then what's the problem? Beisham never did Kedivrei him anyway, so no one's a Mamzer. Say, Amar, Nachmar Yitzchak, no, lo nitzchak, elo tzara atzma. They weren't talking about the B'nai Tzaras. The B'nai Tzaras talk were okay, because maybe Beis Shammai lo asu, and therefore no one's going to be a mamzer. Rather, they're talking about the Tzaras themselves. Manasseh hachkamar, this is what they meant. Hanak Tzaras, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai hechinavid luhu. What are we going to do about Beis Hillel Tzaras, who went off and married in the Shukr al Chalitza, now that we're being machmer for Beis Shammai, and we're requiring them to do Chalitza, what are we going to do with them? Lech Letzu, if we require them to do Chalitza now, Mimasu Agavrayu, then they'll, their husbands will not like them anymore. It will ruin their Shalom Bayis. V'chi teima lima son, and if you say, who cares? No, in principle, so that would be an inappropriate takana, and therefore they never made the takana and just left it in machlok b'hilul shamay. And in the end, of course, we pass in like Beis Hillel. Tashma, trying another proof. The Amar of Tarfon Teivani Masai Tovat Tzaras Basli Yad V'Yasa'ena. Okay, we'll go according to Rashi Pshat here. There are other Pshatim, which, you know, in terms of the technical discussion here, which we won't get into. Rabbi Tarfon, who is a Beis Shammai Nick, had a taiva. To marry Tzaras Abbas. So that proves that Beis Shammai asu kedivreihem because he was going to do chalitz, he was going to do yibum to the Tzaras Abbas, to the Tzaras Erva. So the answer is Ema Asiana. No, really, he was going to do like Beis Hillel. And he says, I can't wait to get a Tzaras Abbas and I'll let her marry in the Shuk without chalitza like Beis Hillel because no one did like Beis Shammai. Baha Teivani Kamer. If he's just doing like Beis Hillel, then what's the big taiva? It's doing like Beis Hillel is not so exciting. Everyone does like Beis Hillel. Lafugin Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. No, his taiva was to show that we don't like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and that we have no takana drabbanan. No, we follow Beis Hillel fully. Tashma. So we have no proof there. Ma'isav v'chovingam liolshayshin su'la abba achiv. So his daughter was married to his brother when his brother died. Therefore, it was a case of a bas, right? Umeis b'labanim. Rabbi Liel's brother died childless. V'yibim Rabbi Liel tzarasem. Rabbi Liel did yibim to the tzaras. So he married tzaras abbas, which shows he was a Beis Shammai nick and Beis Shammai also can divrei him. Says v'tizmer Rabbi Liel to me is Shammai who? What do you mean? We all know Rabbi Liel wasn't Beis Shammai nick anyway. So this is obviously irrelevant, and there must be a different reason he did this. What's the different reason? El Hashani b'tzaras Rabbi Liel the islandess havoi. Really, this was a case of tzaras bito islandess, and we know that we paskin on the top of Yud, Beis and Beis, Hilchon Tzoris Bito Islandis is Muteres. So since his daughter was an islandess, she didn't count, and that's why he married he was Miyabim, the Tzara. Ha, Midkanai Seifa Acherim Omer Bito Shurim Galil Islandis Haisa Miklal Tanakamas Omer Lab Islandis Haisa. No, only in the Seifa, the Acherim say it was because of islandess. obviously the Tanakhama holds it wasn't because of idleness. So what's the reason that it was miyavim tsaras habas? So the Gemara has three answers. One is hikar b'lo hikar b'ika b'nayhu, meaning the Tanakhama does not hold the reason was because of the heter tsaras b'to idleness. What does the Tanakhama hold? There are three suggestions. The first suggestion that Tanakhama held it was lo hikar b'. The Acherim said tsaras b'to idleness, you're miyavim. Tanakhama said, no, it wasn't because there's a heter of tzaris b'to islandess. It was because when his brother married, he didn't realize she was an islandess. It was a mekach tos, and the daughter was never married to the brother. Therefore, she wasn't the tsar of anyone. She was the only wife. And the Acherim say, no, like we pass that tzaris b'to islandess is muteris. Or this is a case where he married the other wife and then divorced the boss. Before he died, the Tanakhama holds, like we hold, that Misa Mapeles. So at the time he died, he only married the other girl. That's why he did Yibam. And the Acherim say, no, Nisum Rishonim Apilim. And really, she was Saras Habas. Luckily, she was an islandess, so he was allowed to do Yibam. The third shot is, Yibazema Yeshnai Bebiya Ikabinahu. There was a Tanai when he married this islandess. And there's a Machlokas, there's a big Sugya Subas, which you can't go into now if you. In Jewish history, this is also a very big episode from 100 years ago. The whole question of can you get married al tanai as a whole way of addressing various aguna issues, which was debated originally in France 100 years ago around. The question is, you can definitely do kedushin al tanai. That's all over Maseches Kedushin. What about once you actually start living together? Do you assume that einod amos bilas bilas nos, and that when you do the bia, you are mochel the tanai? And so the Tanakhama held that no, the tanai is still valid. Therefore, the reason that it wasn't tsaras habas is because the tanai wasn't fulfilled, and he was never married to the boss. The Acherim say no. Once you have bia, the tanai is abrogated. Once you have bia, it's an absolute marriage, and the reason why it's much to be married to tsara is because tsara's bito islandess is muteris. Okay, mesiv rav misharshia. Maisa b'yakiv shalikat esri b'yakiv b'shvaf nogo b'zi surin echav divrei shama b'yakiv divrei shila. We all know the first mishav Rosh Hashanah. There are four Rosh Hashanahs, and two of them there are controversial. The one that's relevant to us is Rosh Hashanah le'ilonos. So we pass like b'shila on tu b'shvat, and b'shamai says on aleph b'shvat, and therefore, in those 15 days, for example, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Samachlok Veshama Yisholo, which year it is. So, an Esrog we follow Lakita for. That's the Gemara being in Kedushin. Rabbi Akiva picked an Esrog, and he wasn't sure what year it is, whether the whole like Veshama Yisholo. So, it happened to be a borderline year, when one of the years was Maisha Sheni year, one was Maisha on a year. So, therefore, he took off both Maisras to be Machmer both ways. If he was Machmer both ways, this obviously shows that Veshama is also Kedavrayim, otherwise, what's the point of being Machmer like Veshama if they don't even do their opinion? So the answer is Shmamina Asu. No, Rabbi Akiva Gumri stopping Legolo Yodi Bishil Bechav Shadom Rabbi Chubishvadom. Really, no, Rabbi Akiva was, of course, only following Beis Hillel. Why would he be mocking for Beis Shammai? He just forgot in the Mishnah which is Beis Hillel Shita, which is Beis Shammai Shita. So he only was mocking because he was supik what Beis Hillel held on that particular day. Mesiv Mar Zutra, Mice of Yodi Kolosh Shammai Zokim Pichs Maziva Vesigo Gavim Meet Bishol Katan. Shmami no asu, right? We know Beis Hillel says a katan at tzarich le'imo is pater from sukkah, as long as the baby still needs his mother. Beis Shammai says all male babies are chayv in sukkah. So he had a grandson, and he couldn't actually bring him out to the sukkah because it was a little baby. So instead, he just took down the roof like fancy people do, and put tzarich on it. So that shows asu. No, hasamaru malafushi abrika of it. No, really, they weren't asu. This is what we discussed last month. Really, this doesn't prove they were asu. This just proved they were asu when it was noticeable. But it could be they still weren't asu in a noticeable way. And this is considered not noticeable because sometimes people would do that just to get more air. Again, not with our modern day houses. You have to hire a contractor and spend a lot of money to take off your roof and put in one of those sukkah things instead. But in the old days, houses, what was the big deal? They threw a few boards someplace here and there. So you took off a few boards, put a few branches. That could be a normal thing to get more air depending on the weather. Masiv Mar Zutra. Maisa b'shokis yehu shoyisu b'shalayim moysu nekuva l'mikva v'cholatar shayu b'shalayim nasma al-gaba. There's a certain shokis is a trough named after Yehu in Yerushalayim, which was attached with a hole to a mikvah the Cha and all the Taras in Yerushalayim were toveled in that Shokes, and Beis Shammai sent a shliach to, it had a small hole attaching it to a mikvah. Beis Shammai sent a shliach to enlarge the hole. Beis Shammai says it needs to be mostly broken, mostly opened up, and utnan, but we hold in the Mishnah, Arabic Voskish refers to hanod, that it only needs to be like the size of a shofaris hanod, that is the straw they would put in the leather wine bags. When it has to be that thick in all dimensions, which, I mean, it has to be a circle with that diameter, like the actual straw was, and the way to tell it is you put in two fingers and we can turn them all around. That's the Shofaris HaNod. Shmami Na'asu, we see from Rabbi Shammai was Asu because they fixed the mikvah in accordance with their Shita. No, Hasam Aroma Lafushim Ayud Gavid. Really, this doesn't prove they're Asu in a noticeable way. This might have been unnoticeable because it just looked like you wanted more water to have more efficiency in the Shokes and not like it was necessarily a halachic Shita.
But here, this is different than all the other cases. All the other cases are too contradictory things. This isn't contradictory. What's the problem? Beis Hillel says it's small, Beis Shammai wants it to be big. So make it big. Beis Hillel, you have to say it's fine with Beis Hillel that way also.
No. So you could say the same thing for the sukkah. Beis Hillel doesn't ask or bring your kids into the sukkah, right? Lots of people nowadays hold like Beis Hillel and we bring babies
already,
into the sukkah.
You have to go crazy to
No, so I guess the happening is this is also a crazy notice. This is also something that screams out obviously that they're disagreeing with Beis Hillel. So I think what you're saying is the answer to the Gemara. No, it could just look innocent. Basically, what you're claiming is that to be machmir is always okay. Obviously, that's not what the Gemara assumes. The Gemara assumes that even to be machmir is not okay if you do it in a noticeable way. Remember, we saw Machlokas in the Bali Tosos and the Ritva. Last man, the Ritva said, it's just that it's not so nice if you could have done it more quietly. And Tosos says, no, it's actually usher to be machmir because of Losis go to do. So let's take Tosos, which I think is a popular Shita. Even be Machmer's Losis go to do. How could they do it? Doesn't this prove Asu? The answer is no, maybe this proves Lo Asu, and they really didn't violate Losis go to do. And over here, it wasn't a violation of Losis go to do because it might just look like they wanted more water.
The concept of if you could do both, it's Darkei Sholem. And, you know, if you can worry about the other guy also, doesn't that fall into Darkei Sholem that we had before?
If I
eat a certain kind of matzah,
that's all within Mandamar Asu. Yes, that whole thing is within Mandamar Asu, who assumed that it's legitimate for Shammai to follow their sheet in the first place. Once you assume it's legitimate that it's to follow their sheet in the first place, then you get into the whole, Chiba Vareyus, etc., right? That's all Mandamar Asu. And we pass like Mandamar Asu. That's all the way we pass it. But in the Dechi of the Gemara at this point, we're trying to defend Mandamar Lo Asu, none of that would be true. It's just illegitimate to follow the other Shita. We're not used to that because we hold Asu. But within Mandamar Lo Asu, forget about all that. It's just illegitimate to follow your other Shita. Even to be Machmir, even to accommodate, it's illegitimate to make the statement that we're diverging from the accepted majority Shita. So the answer is they weren't making a statement. Their secret plan was to diverge from the majority Shita. They weren't making a statement because it just looked like they were improving the waterworks. Okay, now within this discussion of Shokes Yehu, you have a big debate in Tosfos here. Now I realize that I gave a lot of makoros here and I didn't give people enough time to prepare since this man only started yesterday. But this is all Vashgacha Pratis, because the more I thought about this sugya, the more I realized that to really get into the sugya properly, you would need at least 6 months. And it's, at the risk of the punniness, it's a mayim she'en lehem sof. Even if it's only Nekuva Kishvaferes Hanod. So maybe what we'll do now is we'll try to learn up Tosfos and understand things on a basic level. And that will be a reasonable compromise, because this really to really get to the bottom of all the aspects of this little particular couple lines, you'd have to learn all Maseches Mikvos with all the Rav Chaims, and it's not as easy as it sounds. So let's look at Tosfos, right? Okay. Maybe we'll even read the Tosfos together, since we didn't have some time to prepare and some people just showed up for this matin. Tosfos asked the question. It sounds very simple. Arab mikvos, kishvaferes hanod, shalom al Yisrael, right? So the
Tosli, Esvi, and Tomer.
A lot of times, Maseches Taro, so my celebration perk pays the git, and Hanitzot, Vakatafri, so Mashketo Feyach, Enon Chibur, Lo Letoma, Vit, Lo Letara. Right? Pouring and diagonally flowing water. And Mashke Tofeach, and surfaces that are wet, but barely wet. Meaning they're wet, but not wet enough to make something else wet, are not considered connected, neither for Toma nor Tara. Aval Tofeach Latfiach Chibur, but this is not Mefurish in the, there's only a diok in the Mishnah in Tara's Perikres, but it's Mefurish Brisa in the quote that we're getting there, Tofeach Amanas Latfiach, meaning if there's a layer of water on a surface which is wet enough to make something else wet that touches it, then that would be considered Chibur. So the problem is, our sugya says that chibur to join two bodies of water requires kish feres hanod. Forget about mishap. Where are they selling next? Eir mikvos kish feres hanod. However, in Gittin they say, based on a diuk in the Mishnah in Taras Berakhes, that chibur of bodies of water is tofeach amnas latfiach, which is very tiny, much less than feres hanod. So Tosus has two answers here. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. The nekev ba'inon kishvo feres hanod. Aval b'mayim avam toch hanekev sagi tofeach lahatfiyah. Tosa says the two sugyas are talking about two totally different things. Tom says, rather. This is going to be the machlokas. We'll see. Here I'm going to cheat a little. The re at the end of Tosa is going to say, forget the tofeach hamnas latfiyah, that's talking about something else. Er mikvos kishvo feres hanod v'zeh. You want to mix mikvos? They have to be joined kishvo feres hanod. He takes that, Kishvo Feres Hanod, the Re, which we'll see at the end of Tosos, he takes it just as simple, right? That needs to be Kishvo Feres Hanod, Shuto Kashmo, trust Argmar, forget the word Gittin. Right, to join two mikvos, to join two bodies of water, to join two mikvos, needs to first hanod. Rabbeinu Tam, though, wants to complicate things a little. He says that no. That he acknowledges there really is a steer between here and Gittin. And Rabbeinu Tam says that the hole between the two mikvos to join them, why, of course, would we need to join two mikvos, such as the Shokas Yehu? Why do we care about joining two mikvos? Five two mikvos, don't join them, use them separately.
One is too small.
At least one of them is too small. Either one or both of them are too small, correct. Rashi here uses the example of one being too small. Rashi and Gittin on the Sukkot Fest of Menach Latfiach uses the example of both being too small. Right, so we need to join them to get a shear. So, almost everyone seems to assume that's what's going on here in the Shokas Yehu. We need to join them to get a shear.
The other one I saw that you have the small one and the big one. The reason why you use a small one is a problem you're running into. And a small one, if you drop your silverware and you can go down and get it.
Correct. That might be a good reason to use it.
I saw that in one of them. I forget where I saw it.
Okay.
I didn't make it.
That's definitely my simchol yom. My simchol yom, a lot of kelim mikvahs that we use, might not have 40 saw. They might. 40 saw is a lot less than you think. But that's okay because they're connected to Kishvo Feres Hayom to node to 40 saw. And this way, if you drop it somewhere, you don't have to worry about it. Just has to be deep enough to total a big pot.
All our mikvos are connected to the main.
Correct. Correct. The truth is, a lot of our kelim mikvos actually are 40 saw. 40 saw is not very much.
People,
3 cubic amas.
No, people mikvah, but the people mikvah is also.
Correct. Also connected to that. We'll come back to that in a moment, perhaps. Why, by the way, is the people mikvah connected Bishvo Feres Hanod? If you ever go to a people mikvah, it would have to be a proper people mikvah, not like sometimes men's people mikvahs are not done with all the hidurim and the chumras. But if you ever go to a real, like a women's people mikvah, or a men's one that happens to be built with all the hidurim and the chumras, so they always have a Feres Hanod connection to another mikvah. What's the reason for that? It has a shear. Right, because it's a chashash of she'uvim. It's always a chashash of potential she'uvim. And therefore, you connect it to something that is not she'uvim. And we'll come back to that, Bezrat Hashem. Now, what does Rabbeinu Tam say? He says the two sugyas are talking about two different things. Our sugya is talking about how much you have to break the wall in between the two mikvos, right? The wall between the shokas and the mikvah that was next to it. right? Or the wall between any two mikvahs. You have to break the wall, shofaris kanod. The chibur that the Gemara is talking about getting, that's talking about how much the water has to be connected. You only have to break the wall because shofaris kanod. The water has to be connected. You have to break the wall shofaris kanod. But how much water has to go in that shofaris kanod? Right? For example, you know, here's your wall. Can't use blue for the wall because blue is water. Here's your wall. Here's your here's water in the mikvos. So what does Rina Tam say? It says you have to make a hole in the wall, kishfufers anod. But the hole doesn't have to be full. The hole can be mostly above the water level. As long as it's tofeach amanas lefia water in a hole, kishfufers anod, that is good enough. And that's what he says here. The neck of being first. I know the main up. I'm talking about the fifth. Let's fiach. The ain't near the re. The re throws on a bunch of technical questions on Rabbi Tam, which are, I think you can get out of the earth. When they're here and others say that they're not too of this. The Tanam says from the Kvot Perk Shishi, Kotel Shmein, Bebe Mikosh, and Nitzgah, so the Shesti Mitzdarif, Le'ir Vein Mitzdarif, Archie Mokmeh, Shurus Anod. That's what we pass like Tanakama. If it's cracked, if there is a vertical crack through the whole wall, then the two mikvahs are mitzarif. If there's a horizontal crack, then they're not mitzarif unless there's a whole kishvoferes hanod. But you know where chilvah dvarim nifter zel tozel chilvah dvarim the other way around. He said the horizontal crack is mechaber them, and a vertical crack needs shoferes hanod. Okay, but the principle is forget about the horizontal vertical cracks. You need kishvoferes hanod if all you have is a hole. If all you're relying on is a nekev, you need kishvoferes hanod. What if, instead of having a hole in the middle of the wall, the crack is, the hole is on the top of the wall? That's called nifritzu. Then you need al-rum, klipas hashom, al-rocho, kishvoferes hanod. Then, where we're making it needs to be kishvoferes hanod wide, but only klipas hashom high. Al-rum, klipas hashom, al-rocho, kishvoferes hanod. Mashma, so why is this a disproof of Rabbeinu Tam? Mashma de lamalik shein dover mafsik tzor she itzof al rumo ki klashub ruchu shofers lo sagim tofeach latfiach. So his first question, let's just see if we can technically defend Rabbeinu Tam. What's the reason questions on Rabbeinu Tam? Number one, lamala, you need klipas hashom of water, not just tofeach. That's his first question. Anyone want to defend Rabbeinu Tam?
They're the same thing.
Who says that? The Tosfos of Rosh here and Gittin says saying the Shema Tofeach Klipas Hashom. Tosfos assumes all over. Klipas Hashom is larger than a shofar than Tofeach Manas Latfiach. Klipas Hashom. I mean, I don't know. I assume you. You know, everyone here is married. We all have kitchens. We've probably seen garlic in them. Garlic peels are very thin. Now,
that expression is used many times.
Exactly.
Very minimal.
Right, exactly. So Tosfos assuming that klipas hashom is a real shear. They just picked a very thin klipa. It's a very thin shear. They picked a thin klipa. That's obviously more than tofeach manas latfiach, or else they would have said the same thing. Here, it's important. Tofeach manas latfiach is just to be wet. There, it's a certain shear. But those first answer, no, Shema Hinuhach. What does Shema Hinuhach mean? Then what is Klipas Hashom? As Simcha points out, Klipas Hashom is used mostly in Shas, not as a shear, as a catchphrase. He Klipas Hashom, right? All Kochach Yisrael Eino Lefanei Ela Ke Klipas Hashom. Right? That, all of them, they're only Klipas Hashom in front of me. As a matter of fact, they even, not in Chazal, Rabbi Nachman also said that at a certain point, which is one of the reasons why he was not popular in his time as he is today. Says all the Chachmei Yisrael, Klipas Hashom. Klipas Hashom means a garnish, means the smallest thing possible. So Klipas Hashom is just an expression of the smallest things possible. And Tofeach Manas Latfiach is the smallest water possible that actually counts as water. So then, Hayinuach, it's the exact same thing. I don't think what the Tos, I think Simcha was right. Not the Tos Rosh meant, if you happen to measure Tofeach Manas Latfiach, it comes out to a garlic peel. No, it means they both mean the same thing. Tofeach Manas Latfiach is saying the smallest thing that counts as water, and Klipas Hashom is saying the smallest thing. Obviously, it has to be something that counts as water. So, the easiest way to answer Rabbeinu Tam is you could say Shema Keklipas Hashem equals Tofeach Almanas Latviach. Again, I don't think he means scientifically. I think he means philologically, or at least literarily. Theoretically, you could also answer a different way. You could say the crack needs to be Keklipas Hashem high, but the water in it only needs to be Tofeach Almanas Latviach. But I think it's certainly easier to say with those rushes. Okay, what's the next question? Next question is the oat. The im ein. Sorry, uven kuvazul zomafta go to masul sarkmaim shveris kishlo feris. And then he says, well, if they are, if there's a hole in the middle of the wall, then it sounds like the water needs to be kishlo feris. That's a very, very weak question, right? Mashma shetzarech mayim kishlo feris. This is not mukrach in the first place. That's not a strong question. It's mashma from the context of the Mishnah that the water needs to fill the shofaris. It doesn't have to be mashma that way. It could just be that it means the whole has to be shofaris. So then his next question is the od dim ein b'mayim abam derech hanekev el tofeach letfiach ein kanekev rocha mayim kishofaris ein hanekev ruba el agol kedomina kishdeitz bos. So his third question is this interesting. How big is the hole shofaris hanod? It's circular, right? You put two fingers and you turn them, and ah, shofaris. Shofaris are always circular. I think all straws are, and tubes are always made circular, right? So he says the problem is that if the hole is round, then tofeach al manas lahatfiach is not a kishvoferes hanod wide. What he means by that is if here's the hole in the hole of the hole, if all you have is, if you want to get it to be kishvoferes hanod wide, it needs to be half full, right? If all you have is tofeach al manas lahatfiach, it's only going to be in the middle there. It's not going to rise to fill the width of the hole. And you need to fill the width of the hole, because the width of the hole needs to be kishofer's hanot. That's the thing. The question is, if all you need is tofeach almanas latfiach, since it's the round hole, the water is not going to be as wide as the hole. So I'm not sure that's such a strong question. Strong question either. I think this is what the Orach LaNer assumes. Maybe Tom would just say, in a chanami. Yeah. Water. The water doesn't have to be as wide as the hole. The hole has to be kishofer's hanod. The water in it maybe only has to be a little bit tall. Maybe it also only has to be a little bit wide. Who says the water has to be kishofer's hanod wide? The hole has to be kishvoferes hanod wide. No one ever said the water had to be kishvoferes hanod wide. So really, the previous question and Rabbeinu Tam are not so strong. Rabbeinu Tam is defensible. His questions are not so strong. What did the Rebbe say then? But nonetheless, the Rebbe doesn't like Rabbeinu Tam. V'nir l'Rebbe, daha he needs a ketav phrase. Bolin yichim mikvos ayri. It must be that this whole thing of tefeach, amanas latfeach, and nitzach, and getafris, and tefeach, says the Rebbe, has nothing to do with the Erev Mikvos at all. Erev Mikvos, kishvoferes hanod, ein amal daber. What? The whole thing of tefeach, amanas latfeach? That's something else. Elalina hashaka. That's talking about a hashaka. What does hashaka mean? Hashaka doesn't mean you're joining things to make an Erev. Hashaka means that, what did you do in the old days if you had tummy water? So, here's a trick question. What would you do in the old days if you had tummy food? Why is that a trick question?
It's for whom?
You're stuck, basically. A tummy person should eat it. There's nothing you can do about it, right? But what do you do if you have tummy water? So there's something you can do for tummy water. If you touch it to the mikvah, then it becomes tahor. So this was something they would often do in the old days. They would take, if they had tummy water, they would touch it to the mikvah and make it tahor. Of course, the tricky part is that, let's say they wanted to drink tummy water, but they wanted to retire it.
But you didn't want to drink mikvah water because the mikvah water was dirty. They didn't have chlorine. They didn't have filters. They didn't have tap water. They didn't have all our fancy mechanisms. The mikvah waters were, you know, sitting there since the rainy season, and however many people told in it since the last rainy season, that's how many people told in it, right? So if it was Rosh Hashanah time now, then that water's been sitting since before Pesach, and everyone's been toveling in it. So what would you do? You would take your tahor water and touch it a little to the mikvah. That's called hashaka. Hashaka is miloshon nishika. You would just kiss. You just let it kiss the mikvah water, and then it would be tahor. How much does it have to kiss the mikvah water? Obviously, the less the better in a practical sense, right? This was not a theoretical question. It was a very practical concern, because you didn't want it to touch too much, because you didn't want it to get dirty. That, the answer is, that nitzok is not good enough. Meaning, if I pour from my pitcher into the mikvah, that's not matar, the water in my pitcher. Ketafri is not good enough. If I spill on a diagonal board, and it's flowing into the mikvah, the water on top of the diagonal board is not tar. And mashketofeach, if it's only connected, let's say I have a bucket full of water, and I lower the bucket into the mikvah, or put the bucket next to the mikvah, and have like a tiny wet rim connecting the mikvah water to the bucket water, tofeach is not good enough. That's when you need tofeach menaslat tfiach. But if you have tofeach menaslat tfiach, that is good enough. So if I take a bucket of water, and I put it in my mikvah, and I tilt a little, and there's tofeach menaslat tfiach on the rim of the bucket, connecting the inside of the bucket to the outside of the bucket, that's matahar, the water in my bucket. But it doesn't make it a kosher mikvah. That doesn't, it's not your mikvah, so I can't total things in it. I'm not interested in making it a chalos mikvah. I'm just interested in being matahirit. And that's how the Reis says that's what's going on in Gittin and in the Mishnah in Tyros and the Mishnah in Tyros. The how needs to be tachreis, well, in the chimer posa, really not shaka, the yesh kamayim to name, mashika, benohar, mechaber, al gindits, or mitachreis, or mashka tofeach, in chibur. Avo tofeach, let's feach, habi chibur, tofeach, let's feach, is good enough to be mechaber for hashaka, but not for mikvos. The hashta, abi tara, dum, dulatoma, then actually works out well. It says, the Losh of the Mishnah is, ain't a chibur lo latoma, vlo latara. Toma means to make a tome, right? Nitzo, katafres, and mashka tofeach will not let one thing a tummy make the other thing tummy. Now it's parallel. And if one thing is tahor, such as a mikvah, it won't make the other thing tahor. This is actually about, nitzok was a very, very big thing. If you go back to 2,000 years ago, this was one of the big, most burning halachic issues of the times. Nitzok kibur. Because why, you can imagine. If I'm a guy who's a chavar with tumah v'tahara, and I'm selling wine in the marketplace, can you come to me? You're who knows what you are. So what'll I do? I won't touch your kalim, I won't touch it. I'll just pour wine into your jug and you'll bring it home, right? They didn't sell in disposable containers. You bring your bucket, you would fill it up, and that's how you bought wine. So if I pour my wine into your tummy jug, does it make my whole barrel of wine tummy? We say nitzok ain't a chibur, it doesn't. If I recall correctly, the tzedukim said nitzok was chibur, and it did, and that's why all of our stuff they claimed was tummy, because we would pour it into Amaratzin's kalim. And that was one of the big divisions in those days between the different sects of Judaism. Back to us. Uvehedya misni lini nashakim zemes taras sofer shmini. Likewise, the end. The context here in the end of the eighth parak of Taros is about hashakas. This is a good pshat. Uvereish perpshini to get maskula dilbulin yemikvot riyudi. And even though in the Gemara Gittin says, maybe this is mikvos according to Rabbi Yehuda. Sounds like talking about mikvos and not hashaka. No, he makes a deal. We call that hashalom imokalim in mikvos. Not only he suggests that maybe it's, most people think it means, or until now we thought it meant, maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda. No, he says, be medayik. The Gemara says, maybe it's talking about mikvos according to Rabbi Yehuda. But really not. Really, it's not talking about mikvos. It's talking about hashaka. Meaning, hashaka also involved in mikvah. But it's not talking about ir mikvos. It's talking about hashaka. The Hashanavi Mokalim Mikvos Mokalim Dagri Yehuda, even in the Dilma where they're saying to Mikvos, that's only according to Yehuda, we don't pass like him. Avol Rabbanu Lo Avi Chibur Tveyach Latzviyach. But according to Rabbanan, there was never a happening, and no one ever thought there would be Chibur Mikvos Tveyach Latzviyach just Hashaka. Lo Yehuda Navi Tveyach Latzviyach Lo Avi Chibur Mishum Good Achis. Even according to Yehuda, even he only says that it's Ma'arav Mikvos and it's special case called good achis, where all the water is above and it's float and it's pouring down into the mikvah, where all the water is in the airspace of the mikvah. Well, that's the only case, only Kundra Yehuda, we don't pass the light, where Tofeach Latfiach would be mechaber something to make the shear of a mikvah. Like one guy's coming out with some water in his body. So fair plat fiyah. And his foot's in the water, since it would all drip down anyway, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says that counts towards the shir mikvah. But it was just on the ground where nothing was falling anywhere else. There was no question of good achis. No, then you would need klipa hashom on top of the wall, or obviously kishvah person no in the middle of the wall. Yeah, because even the Mishnah said you need klipa hashom, which Tosfos holds is more than tefach hamanas latfiyah. Rabbi Yehuda is talking at the beginning of that Mishnah, so even Rabbi Yehuda requires to klipa hashom. Doesn't he think tefach hamanas latfiyah is enough? Proves no, that tefach hamanas latfiyah is only in a weird case of good asik. And so other questions which are not relevant to the parts of these Mishnayos that are quoted here, but to the Katafres issue, he discussed at greater length in Gittin. Okay, so let's just summarize the opinions that we have so far. The Re is very simple. Er mikvot kishko pers hanod. What is the lumdus of Rabbeinu Tam? So the Svar of the Re is very simple. To join mikvos, you need kishvah pers hanod. That's the shear of joining mikvos. What's this for Rabbeinu Tam? The hole needs to be kishvah pers hanod, but the water only needs to be tefach manas latfiyah. So, the Brisker Rav explained this for Rabbeinu Tam, the one that I have on the bottom of the Makorah sheet, that really. To be mitzarif the water. Here, one second. The tzeraf of the main mikvah, according to the Re, is kishva peres hanot. Okay. What about according to what kind of shva peres hanot? So sometimes it means shva peres hanot circle, sometimes it's shva peres hanot by klipas hashom. According to the Meir Tam, no. The tzeraf of the mayim is tofeach al lemas latfiyah. What's the din of Shofar Sanod then? What's the point of Shofar Sanod according to Rabbeinu Tam? He says if the water is touching at wall, that's a chibur for Tahara, even Tefach Manas Latfiyah. What's the point of the Shofar Sanod? So why do you need a whole Shofar Sanod? Why not just say they're touching Tefach Manas Latfiyah? Why do you need a hole that's the size of a Shofar Sanod?
The potential to be more.
The size of the big one.
So you need potential. It needs to touch a little and have potential to touch Kishvah Feres Hanod. That is possible. The Brisk Rub says it in a slightly different way, although I hear what you're saying. The way the Brisk Rub says it is that Kishvah Feres Hanod that's a din in the Mechitza. That what's the point? First, a note is only if you have a wall in between things. If you have a wall, then that wall will be mafsik the mechitza, separate things. So the mechitza will separate the mikvah. To join the water, all you need is tefach manas latfiyah. The water has been served in tefach manas latfiyah. But what about the fact that mechitza is mavdil? The first, a note is there to be mevatel the mechitza. Therefore, what do you need? If it's in the middle, you need first a note circle. If it's on the top, you just need Shofar Sanod wide to break that wall because it goes up forever. So that's what he says. Shofar Sanod is to be mevatel. To be mevatel the mechitza. Which means the mechitza needs to be broken to Shofar Sanod. The water only needs to touch ketuvei hamanas latfiyah. But the mechitza needs to be broken. The mechitza needs to be broken, kishvoferes hanod. I think that also is a little more meduic than Morty was suggesting, because if you just need potential shvoferes hanod, then why do you need nifritza on top at all? Why should the wall need to be broken on top at all? After all, if you filled it up enough, it would go over the wall. There's always potential to join kishvoferes hanod, because there's no roof, right? If there's no roof, just keep adding water and eventually join kishvoferes hanod. And there must be no roof, because it talks about breaking the wall at the top. So therefore, the risk rub says no. Everything has potential, unless there's a roof, there's always potential to join Kishvah Feres Hanod, just have a big flood. But we need more than potential to touch Kishvah Feres Hanod. What we need is to break Mevatel the Mechitza. What's Mevatel the Mechitza? A Shvah Feres Hanod is Mevatel the Mechitza.
That's the way the Brisker Rav explains Rabbeinu of Tam. I think it's very meduyik. And that's why the whole Mechitza needs to be a Shvirus HaNod. The water is a different story. So the actual Eruv Mikvos is Tofeach HaManas LaTfiach. But the bit of Mechitza needs to be Kishvaferus HaNod. I think there's a third sheet in this as well.
That
yeah.
would mean that if you could physically arrange it that you had a Mechitza between the two of them, but somehow you had a pump or something that was keeping the water from going from one to the other, that would, according to the Rav, you're Mechitza, there's no Mechitza there, but the water is, you haven't connected the water between the two.
Let's say you had some strange mechanism where the two waters didn't touch. Then the Brisker Rav would say it's enough for them to touch. They still have to touch the Tofeach HaManas LaTfiach, but they wouldn't have to touch the Shofaris HaNot. It's probably not a common occurrence. Halacha L'maisa, we generally would be machmir like the Ri in this, that if we needed to be machaber things, we would want the whole to be full of Shofaris HaNot because we tried to be machmir on this. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, no, that's only a din of the Mechitza Shofaris HaNot. The Tofeach HaManas LaTfiach, that's a din to be mechaber the Mayim. So the Mayim is joined to be Tofeach HaManas LaTfiach, but to be Vatel Mechitza, you need Kishvaferes HaNot.
I think another way of expressing it is that when you have a mikvah of Arlim Saw, you're measuring two different things. There are two different requirements. One is you have to have a mikvah of water, but you also need a container of Arlim Saw. And in order to create the small shoket, or whatever it is to be mechaber, number one, you have to have Arlim Saw there. You can do that with the but to create the physical structure that holds our being saw, when it physically doesn't, there you need the
okay.
You know,
well,
that's a physical size that's a requirement.
Okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought for a moment, and I think you're right. But hold that thought for a moment. Let's just see. There's a third day in Tosos. Tosos discussed this in a few places in the Shas. Tosos here, Tosos in Gittin says pretty much the same thing. Then there's Tosos Chagiga that says pretty much the same thing. But if he adds one line at the end that I put on the top of the sheet, Umiyo Yishlachalik Me'ikorah Liyashin Kol Mishnayis. Although I think it definitely dovetails with the Rabbeinu Tam. Divekarka Shove Heichad Leka Kotel Klal Sagi B'Tofeach HaManas LaTfiach. Veichad Ikin Nekev Bakotel. But in on Karochas Shofaris HaNod, Yagabe Kotel Sagi Klips Hashom Arochav Kish Shofaris HaNod. What is Tosos saying at the end of this? Right, this is Tosos. He doesn't want to admit that Kiklib Zashub is the same thing as Tofeach HaManas LaTfiach. So what does he say? He says, maybe they're two different things. Maybe this is not the exact same as Rabbeinu Tam. This is the, what is this called? Mihu Yesh L'Chalik, Me'ikara. The Mihu Yesh L'Chalik in the Tosos in Chagiga, he says that no. If you have a wall, then the Ri is correct, right? You need the water to touch Kishvaferes HaNod, right? He says, he's not Rabbeinu Tam. He's saying, look, you can say if you have a wall, then if the hole's in the middle, the water needs to fill the hole Kishvaferes HaNod. And if the hole's on top, the water needs to fill the hole Kishvaferes HaNod. By Klip Zashon, which is more than Tefech HaManas LaTfiach. But if there's no wall, you just have things spread out over the ground. You have a lot of water spread out over the ground, and you want to know how much to, you know, how wide, how broad to count that mikvah. If there's no wall, then Erev Mikvos is B'Tofeach HaManas LaTfiach. So this is a little bit of a compromise. I think it's still taking the same general approach as, this is a little bit of a compromise. What's it saying? If there's a wall separating two places, then to connect those, you need the water to fill the whole Kishvaferes HaNod. But if there's no wall separating two places, you're just trying to connect things on karka. There's no mechitza separate. There's no mechitza separating things. There's no kotel. There's a slope in the karka, right? There's a little bit of a puddle here, and it slopes up and slopes down, and the field is flooded by rainwater, and you want to know if it counts the mikvah or not. Then all you need is then all you need is tofeach amnas latfiach. And I think that particularly the Mir is lechalik, even though it's not mocher that the lumpness has to be different, but I think it works very well with what Simcha was saying. Actually, slightly different approach. What's the logic? The logic is that there's two let me just fix my lashon, 1 second. I think the logic of the Yesh Lechalik, if I understand him correctly, is... is that there's a difference between joining two mikvahs and joining the water in one area. There's a difference between joining two separate mikvahs to each other versus joining the water within one mikvah. Erev mikvahs, I think what the logic is, Erev mikvahs means combining two different mikvahs. To combine two different mikvahs, then you need kishvoferes hanod. If you have two different things, there's a wall in between them, then you need a strong chibur. You're taking two different things and you want to combine them, then you need a strong chibur, kishvoferes hanod. But let's say it's karpas shavah, there's no wall, there's no demarcation, there's no boundary lines. You just have a broad area and you want to count. It's just one big area, but you want to count seraph of mayim in one mikvah. That is tofeach amanas latfiach. Now I know that's not exactly what Simcha is saying, but I think this is the Mir Yesh Lechalik. The Mir Yesh Lechalik is saying that it's not a matter of breaking the mechitza, because he doesn't agree with the Rinat Tam. The water needs to fill the hole. It's a matter of two different types of joining. You can join two areas that are separate areas. To join two separate things, you need to connect the Kishon first Hanot. To join two separate things into one mikvah, you need to connect Shver Sayyot Hanot. If you have one mikvah, and you just want to add all the water together, because it's a mikvah which has slants and which has slopes, etc., then Tofeach Naslatfiach is Mechaber, the water. So I think that we have then three possibilities, although, you know, there are different ways. Yeah.
I mean, I don't see the difference between the example of the field with the water and just a wall that stops.
The question is where to draw the line, right, as to what's two mikvahs. After all, anytime you need to connect things, it's because something's lower and something's higher, and then where exactly do you draw the line? So I think that, and this will be the shita of the Rambam, I think that you have to draw the line not based on the physical properties of the water and the location of the water, but if it was a hotel, and what's just a sloping, you know, rocky, uneven area. So I think you might have to draw the line. We'll see how the Rambam draws the line, a little different than the Mir Yesh Lechalik. But I think you probably have to either draw the line using Hilchos Mechitzas, or draw the line using the way people would look at it. Some things people see as a wall divided into areas, like a shokes next to a mikveh. That's clearly two different things. And some things people see as one thing. And I think that even though that's a fuzzy distinction, I think you might have to go with that, because we'll see the Rambam has something like that, a little fuzzy. But what I'm claiming then is that there are three different shitas as to what it means Erev Mikvos, Kishvoferes Hanod. One shita is the Ri. The first shita is that it means Seraph of May Mikvah to join the water, Kishvoferes Hanod. Kishvoferes Hanod means the water joins together. Anything less than Shvoferes Hanod is Hashaka. It's a good enough kiss to be Matahir, but it doesn't make the water into May Mikvah. The second shot, well, a certain Rav Chaim Hilchos Tumas Ochel notwithstanding, which you can look up if you want. Second shot is Rabbeinu Tam. Erev Mikvos Kishvoferes Hanod really means Bitul Mechitza is Kishvoferes Hanod. It's not dealing with joining the water at all. joining the water sofeach amenas latfiach. But bittul mechitza is kishvul first anod. And then we have the miu yesh lechalik, which I think is the third shot. The miu yesh lechalik is saying that eruv of mikvaos, joining two different mikvahs, that's a higher standard, is kishvul first anod. But eruv of mikvah is not. Joining the water together, not. But if there are already two separate mikvahs, and then you want to join them together, that needs kishvul first anod. Now, I believe, so the three ways, either Eruv of Mayim Kishvul Feres Hanod, or Bittul Mechitzas Kishvul Feres Hanod, or Eruv of two different mikvahs is Kishvul Feres Hanod. Nothing to do with Eruv of water within one mikvah. I believe that this third shot matches best the Shita of the Rambam in Eruv Mikvahs Kishvul Feres Hanod, even though the Rambam doesn't explicitly deal with this Gemara in Gittin. If you look at how the Rambam brings down Eruv Mikvahs Kishvul Feres Hanod, it's striking, and you'll have to take my word for it. This is the second marker here, Rama Hilchot Gross Parakhes, that none of what he says here is Mefurash and Shas. A kolam ur of lemikvah, reka mikvah. That's clearly his bringing down of Eruv Mikvos, right? Kolam ur of lemikvah, Eruv Mikvos. Umat bilimbo. Gumos hasmuchos lepia mikvah. Like if you have holes that are near the entrance to the mikvah, umakam ragn pars behema shayuban mayim rub man mikvah, or you have footprints left by animals that are next to the mikvah. So you have a mikvah. Next to the mikvah, there's a hole in the ground. Or the animals made footprints and made a permanent hole or long-term hole in the ground. And then it rains a lot, and that water gets joined to the mikvah water. Kishvul feres hanod, if they were rubbing a man mikvah, kishvul feres hanod, not bilin behem, that eruv mikvahs kishvul feres hanod. Beis chorei ha'ba'orot. What about holes within the cave of the mikvah? They used to make their mikvahs in caves in the old days. Or they make their mikvahs in caves. You needed to dig in the ground to have a mikvah, and obviously in the old days you wouldn't dig in dirt. If you ever were you ever a little kid, you want to build a swimming pool in your backyard, so you dug in the dirt. You ever notice the water's not going to stay there? It'll just seep into the dirt, and you know, however, go down to wherever the water table is. Which, assuming you weren't a kid in Louisiana. So in the mikvahs, again, if you were not a kid in Louisiana or Florida or someplace where the water table was, you know, almost up to the ground, then you wouldn't get any water there. You had to dig in, but if you dug in bedrock, if you dug into the rock, then, you know, rocks are also permeable, but somewhat less so. You know, it takes a couple thousand years for the stalactites.
So then you would get a mikveh there. So they would dig all the mikvahs into the rocks, which, you know, if you live around this part of Israel, you should know, you realize there are plenty of rocky areas to go around. And so that's what they would call it, a cave, when you dig into the rock. How do you dig into the rock? The easiest way to dig into the rock is you dig, like, you know, you don't like dig down into the rock. It's much easier to dig sort of sideways, sloping down into the rocks. They dig like into the rock, and they make a little cave there. And after they're in their mikvah. So within that cave, the Rambam says, the holes in the cave, and the crevices in the cave, you can total them. That only needs a kol shu to connect your water to the mikvah. So basically, if you have outside the cave, you have the parsis, you have a big rain, and it fills the whole cave. You have parsis, ragli, behemor, gumos outside the cave. That means chibur kishvah farsanot. That's Arabic close kishvah farsanot. But inside the cave, you have cracks and crevices and holes with that you dug out of this rock. Then, as long as there's a chibur kol shu, that's good enough. What's the difference? Why in one case the Hebrew culture, in the other case you need Shveris HaNod? The Rambam is very clear. In the cave, everything in the cave is part of that mikvah. That's all one big mikvah. That's the question of, you have one big mikvah which is not smooth. It's not a smooth cube or something, or rectangular solid. It's dug out, it's haphazard. So within one mikvah, kolshu, which means tofeach v'nasla tfiach, that's good enough. But if you want to connect the mikvah to a different guma, connecting the mikvah to a different guma that's air, not within the mikvah, but air mikvah is connecting to something else that's a different area to the mikvah, that needs kishvah first hanod. I'm not necessarily claiming it's exactly the same halachah l'maisa as the Miri Yesh L'chalik, but it's the same idea as the Miri Yesh L'chalik. Air mikvahs don't need to join the water together. The water is mitzurif together into a mikvah, bitofech l'asatzviach, or as the Rambam says, b'kolshu. Joining the water is b'kolshu. The Erev Mikvos is to join two different areas. Now again, more or less, how do we know exactly where to draw the line? So if you have a cave, you're in the cave or out of the cave. What if it's not a cave? How do you know where to draw the line? So okay, we'll have to figure out, and it might end up being fuzzy, how to draw the line. But the Rambam is clearly drawing the line here. There's within a mikvah, and there's outside a mikvah, and Tofeach HaNasla Tzviach is mechaber within the mikvah. Shofar Sanot is mechaber to something outside the mikvah, or if you have two mikvahs with a wall in between them, they're each outside each other, right? Two guys dug two mikvahs, and they ended up with a little wall in between them, right? I dug from my field, you dug from your field. We left a wall in between us, and then the water goes down. And now we each only have 20 sa. So now we have to punch a hole in Shofar Sanot, because that's being mechaber two different areas and not within one area. So I think that the Rambam is the exact same thing. Again, I don't know, I can't say this as the Rambam answered up the question of Gittin. He didn't talk about the word Gittin. That was in the Shach. You know, he never actually talked about Nitzot Kafres Mayim Tofech Einam Chibur, but Tofech Manas Latfech is Chibur in the context of Mikvos. So I can't promise that that's how he answers it, but certainly, you know, Alpi the Rambam, you could easily say that within the mikvah you need tofeach al menas lahatfiach. Outside the mikvah you need kishvoferes hanod. And I think this will be important in a moment. Outside the mikvah you need kishvoferes hanod. And that's the same lundus as the Miu Yesh L'chalik. That air of mikvos doesn't mean air of hamayim. The mayim is more of a kolshein. It means air of two different areas. To be ma'ariv, two different areas. That you need kishvah first anode. Now Simcha might point out that if we really want to, we could put the lundus that I call the Miu Yesh L'chalik into a bigger tam. Say he's also talking about ma'ariv areas, but your ma'ariv areas with air, not with water. If you want to, maybe for the lumps or the tamak the Miri Yesh L'chalik, he's also going to be Mevatel Mechitza, but maybe you're only Mevatel Mechitza if something flows through it, but at least on a simple level, you know, I think this is the smoothest way. Okay, so far we then have, that's the end of the first part of our analysis, three different shatan the Irvin Mikvos from Shafar said, no, the Re says don't get joining the water to make a mikvah. Rebbeinu Tam says, no, the water is joined with Kol Shu.
It's talking about being bought in Machitza, and the media should have a look around and say, also, no, what is your culture? So first, a node is to join water in two areas, as opposed to joining water within one area. And how do you draw the line? That one could easily get lost in the details if you don't have caves.
Aren't they really, all the shitas are arguing in details? I mean, the basic concept on all of them is if you have a single entity, you don't need much. If you have two separate entities, you need. And they're
no, I don't think they're arguing details, because the re says, I mean, you could say that, but I think there's a fundamental machlokes, because the re says, the re is saying you can't join mikvos. All water is separate mikvos. So you could. Rabbeinu Tam is a little bit trickier, because Rabbeinu Tam actually never requires water dish for Feres Hanod. But if you want, you can say you all agree that joining areas is kishvafer. The only question is there something that counts as the same that's enough to have tofeh menas latzviyah? And that Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, anything without a big mechitza, without a intact mechitza, I don't want to say whole mechitza, because whole is a bad hominid for us now. And the Rambam and the Yishuv Chalav say, yeah, anything in the same area. So one could view it that way.
The people would argue with the Rambam that the Mara with the Horam Stark, you say that's not good enough.
I assume he would. Now, the Mishnah, that sounds a little like the Rambam in that, but it doesn't actually, it's not actually so mephorish. I would think he would have to argue about that. I think you'd have to argue about that. Yeah. Now, the last thing that I want to deal with, and I think it'll tie into this, that's how the Brisker Reb use it in the Grizz and the Rabbi Vilchus Mikvos, is the original context of the Mishnah of Shokas Yehu. So Shokas Yehu was actually a Mishnah. If you look at the third thing on the page here, the Mishnah of Gos says, Shokas Shibasela. If you have a trough in the... The question is whether a shokes counts as a kli or counts as a karka, as a mikvah. So it says a trough, ein mamalim yana ve'ein mekadshinva. You can't fill up water for the meipara or mekadish the meipara, ve'ein mazmimeno or du hazah from it. That'll prove that it's not a kli. Ve'ein etzarech, it's some puzzle. It doesn't need some puzzle to protect it from a mace because it's not a kli. Binyan doesn't need some puzzle. You just need to close it well enough, there's no opening a tefach. And if the water flows on the shokas into the mikvah, it doesn't pass in the mikvah because it's not a kli. Hoisakli, that's a shokas dug into the cella. What if you take a shokas that's a kli and you cement it onto the cella? V'chibra besid, and you cement it on, then that's a kli. Memalin bo, mekachim, mazmimen, you can use it for doing it to the kli, it's rikhan samit pasel, if there's a mace there, it's samit pasel to protect it, it's a kli, upo sel sa mikvah. And if the water drips on the shokas, from the shokas to the mikvah, it's all mine shufim, and it passels the mikvah. Okay, this is the concept, by the way, those of us who, and it's really a concept in Taros, but let's say you're a regular yeshiva guy, and you don't get to Taros, then it's a gemara in the seventh parak of Bava Kama, the divnin chakakot v'sof kvo, versus kvo v'sof chakakot, if you build in stones and sticks and whatever, and then you hollow them out, that's not a kli. But if you hollow something out and make it a kli, and then cement it into your structure, that is a kli. That's, for example, if you want to build a mikvah, and you say, well, what am I going to do? What I'll do is, I will, build like a hollowed out mikvah, and then cement it into the ground. That's no good. It's already a kli. When you cement a kli to a ground, it stays a kli. That's the principle. When you cement a kli into the ground, it stays a kli. And since it stays a kli, therefore, it'll passel the mikvah. And that's why, of course, you would never see a mikvah. I mean, I don't think they would build a mikvah that way anyway, but all the mikvahs are built, what they do is they just take cement, which is not a kli, and pour it. They take tiles, which don't hold anything. Right, and they tile the mikveh, etc. They would never take anything that with a base kibble and cement it into the mikveh.
Interesting, Rabbi Miller, his great grandfather, has a book on
Netzach Yisrael by David Miller,
and he has in there pictures of how you can build a mikveh in your own house, and those are.
I think they are. I think if you're no, if you look carefully, you will see. If you look carefully, you will see that they are not all the ways he had. He is a very, very fascinating book. I don't have a copy of it. It's a little old. It's by David Miller. I didn't realize he was related.
Secret of the Jew.
Yeah, Secret of the Jew, or Netzach Yisrael. It was a little book, you know, one of those old-fashioned looking books that he wrote back in the days when no one kept Torah Mishpat in America, and they were embarrassed to, etc., about how you could, and there weren't that many mikvos, and people were embarrassed to go anyway because they were considered un-American and old-fashioned. And unhygienic, how you could build a mikvah in your house and disguise it as a dresser or put it in a closet or all kinds of fascinating things. So you keep Taras Mishpacha, and with a Divrei Musar, explain to people why they should keep Taras Mishpacha. Very fascinating, and all for under $5. Which, $5 then, but that's still, you know, probably not so much money. I was always a little skeptical whether those would really be watertight. I don't know if you've given it more thought than I have. Also, he assumed that it's all based on filling it with tap water. He assumed that the tap water is not shooting him, which is, you know, a function of the technology of your door, etc., and how they built the pipe system from the reservoir, right? If in the pipe system of the reservoir they have one pipe with a base kibble and then build it into the ground, then it makes everything that flows through it shuvim. If they have no pipes with the base kibble, just like regular piping, and then it goes through the regular piping, then it would not be shuvim. Okay, this gets a little more complicated, but we're not going to get into that now. It depends if it was originally manufactured to be attached to the ground. That might make a difference. All right, let's get back to this. So what does it say then? Basically, if you have a shokes, what's the case of the shokes they're discussing in the Mishnah? What's the problem with the shokes? The problem is if it was a kli and then you attach it to the ground, the problem is that it's a kli, it's mayim shuvim. So what does it say? Nikva milmatim enatzabi nechulukam mayim kolshem kshira. But if you make a hole in the kli on the bottom or on the side and it can't hold water, you're not going to answer the question of why the Rambam leaves out the part about can't hold water, then it's kosher. If you make a hole in the kli, then you fixed it. The kami of a nekev, how big does the hole have to be? Kishvoferes hanod. Now, what's the function of the whole shvoferes hanod in this Mishnah? To be mevatel kli. We all know that holes are mevatel kli, right? Someone throw out a couple of shiurim of holes we've heard that are mevatel various kalim. How big of a hole you need to be mevatel kli? Sometimes motzi zayis, right? In some cases, even motzi rimon. In some cases, kones mashkin. In some cases, motzi mashkin. In some cases, kishorish katan. It's very complicated. So, but it sounds like you mevatel this kli, you need kishvoferes hanod. Amr, you don't say ramaisa b'shokis yehu shaisu b'shalayba shenakuba kishvoferes hanod. Right, and nekev kishvoferes hanod. For you call it tarish b'shalay nastal gaba. So chasuha shebeisham radi sheyipchesu ruba. So here's the mice of shokis yehu, and here's the mice of shokis yehu in the Mishnah. Now, what was the point of the shvoferes hanod in shokis yehu according to this Mishnah? What? Is bittel kli. Not erev mikvos, not to give you 40 sah. According to this Mishnah, it doesn't sound like the issue was 40 sah. It sounds like the issue is bittel kli.
That would seem like Rabbi Natan, but very comfortable with that.
What? Okay. Great, so hold that thought for a moment. Let's look at the Rashi Shantz. Says the Rashi Shantz here in the Rush. I think it might be in the newer Bar Ilans or something, but the Rush, I don't know what the Rush is in Masechet Mikvos here, but the Rush in Hilchos Mikvos, in his Hilchos Mikvos, says something similar. The Rash Rishon says, Kami Ibenekev, the Chor Mash Vidar Reish Kli. Sounds like this whole end is tying into the beginning. Kami Ibenekev, Levat Mitoris Kli. It sounds like it's about Bittel Mitoris Kli. Kidei Shelo Yipos, the Yipsols HaMikva, Mitam Sheiva. Right, it sounds like the whole thing first I know is it didn't bittel kli. Avol efshar lomar kein, but you can't say that. Mi demaisi lahau deshokes yehu demaisi lo sofer kamin diyavamos. Why? You can't say it's about bittel kli because they're talking about the shokes yehu, and we know in yavamos what shokes yehu was about. Linyan erev mikvos kish for first I know shokes yehu was an issue of erev mikvos, an issue of getting a shir mikvah.
According to this Rashi,
According to the Mishnah, it sounds like it wasn't an issue of getting the shear. It sounds like the problem was the water flowed through the shokes, and it would all be possible mishum she'uven until they made a whole kishvaras anod. So what's the issue? Is the issue bittel kli, or is the issue getting a shear of mikveh or mikvos? Or beishanai shi'chas ruvav. Tosefta nami ika diyavai shear. Okay, just refers to inyan shlo yiv solam mikvah. V'shema sugya diyavamos kamandarim tosefta afilu nakav kumo macha ein posel sam mikveh v'alkorchen lahachi tana uvda the shokes yel in the mikvos. Must be the Gemara Yevamos argues. The Gemara Yevamos holds that Bittul Kli is Bekulsho, and the Gemara Yevamos holds that the Shokas Yehu was about Erev Mikvos, was about getting the requisite shear against the Mishnah. The Shokas were Evan Chalul Shtaks Latzina Mekayach Malukalach Mayim in a Har Bais Nikar Shokas Yehu. Chol Tarish Mishlan Nasla Gavashem Bilum Tocha Ba'osan Taris Lahoyi B'Shokas Mem Sa'a Val Mikvah Shem Hoyi B'Tzida. According to the Gemara Yevamos, it wasn't an issue of Sheiva, of Kli. It was just an issue of not having Mem Sa'a. It wasn't a Kli at all. It was dug into the rock. Just in the memsa. It's just strange. Why would they diverge so much from the pshat of the Mishnah? So, if I can make myself some room here, this is something that bothered all of the Rishonim. How come in the Gemara Yevamos it sounds like the Nekev Kishvoferis is for Eruv Mikvaos, but in the Mishnah, in Mikvaos, it sounds like the Nekev Kishvoferis is for Betel Kli? So what does the Rash say? The Rash says it's an Achlokes. The Rash says, it's a machlokes, Mishnah, versus the Braisa. What the Shokas Yehu was it a Kli that needed to be broken so it wouldn't be Yerayim Sheuven? Or was it a mikvah that had less than Memsa? The Rash, I didn't put it on the course here, but the Rash in Hilchos Mikvaos says something a little more dachuk. The Beis Yosef quotes him in Simon Reish Aleph. I don't think we have a rush up with Mikvos. Here. No. Hard to find the Sechs Mikvos. They're so short without Gemara. Does the Rush say it? Yeah, okay, the Rush here says the same thing. Okay, so that's, you could say it's not locus. The, the Kesef Mishnah also is bothered by this question, because let's look at the Rambam for a second. The Rambam says, let's just skip for a second, any Kli with the base kibble that the water goes over makes it she'uvim and is possible. Ve'ushi yasu l'kabal, one that's made to be a base kibble. Feel like came she'in l'kabal tonu l'kli avon kli adam elohim psu'un. Right, any water that flows over or through any Kli with the base that's in, have an intentional base kibble is she'uvim. Base kol Kli she'lo nasus l'kabala, okay fine. Any Kli that wasn't intended to hold things, just accidentally as a tour of base kibble, that doesn't possibly for gimel. Hashoka should have sell it in a post like l'shenu Kli. If you dig a trough into the stone, that's not a Kli, that's ground, that's the binyan, that's karka, doesn't possibly make a Kli shit from Rusella. But if you take a pre-existing trough and cement it onto the ground, onto the cella, Pose also make a Kli from Rusella, even though you cemented it, possibly make a, because once you have a Kli with a base kibble and then you cement it, it stays a Kli. Nick from Yilmatim and the Tzach, first I know, share of Rusella is a make a, but if you make a whole Nick, first I know, then it's kosher,
and it won't passel the mikvah. Certainly sounds for the Rambam like, what's the point of this reverse anode? Sounds like the point of this reverse anode is
give me a vatalit
from the Torah's Kli. Says the Kesef Mishnah, when we talk to Rabbeinu Shukas of Khan, Mashbul Yishu, Mepharish Masnishna Shata, the Kami of Anekev Koilamai, the Solik Mine, that this whole Mishnah is all talking about the issue of Kli, which is what it was started with. The Hainul Inu Vatalit Torah's Kli, so Yif Sol Hamikva Mafa Shiva Ka'amar. Kami of Anekev, Kishavar Sano, Fiza Tzorch Lomar, Behaim Per Kami Yivamos. What about Yivamos? Trey Shokas Yehu Hayub Yushalayim. There must have been two different Shokas Yehus. One which didn't have memsa'ah, needed ear of mikvahs. Ella de ruva in mikvah zid. That didn't have memsa'ah unless you counted it as mitzvah for the mikvah next to it. Al de nekev should be nehem through a hole. There's another shokas yehu. The water would go through to get to the mikvah, and that had a shash of she'iva. There also a nekev levat l'mitars kli. Behind you have the time of sex mikvahs. So shiur de nekev, the ear of mikvahs. Shiur levat l'mitars kli shav name. And it's the same shear, so it's okay. They both need shavers anode. Dibitarvaya shavers anode. Yavga dervaya patanikala tarshim shal nasagabit. There are two of them. Have to both then have. They've done all the tarshim shalayim on them. They get all the tarshim shalayim on both of them. Ein lemeidin aklolos. Don't take kol literally. Sasa tarshim shalayim nasim shogazu. Who's my acher? Sasa tarshim shalayim nasim shogazu. Who's my acher? He called tarshim shalayim nasim shogazu. Okay, I think there's a Gashmat Lee. Almost either it means don't take it literally, so a lot were done here and a lot there, or it means in one year they did it all here, and next year there's a different fat and they did it all there. So the Kesef Mishnah says, the same thing the Beis Yosef, Nachum Vos, Yerodei Rish Aleph, says there were two different Shokes Yehus. Okay, or he says, but after number double da acha, see if you want to say they're the same Shokes Yehu, well, that's too dachuk. Ubein hacha bein hasa lolin ir mikvos mis nia elol in your neck of amvat mitors kli. And in both cases, you could say, you know what? Nothing is to do with ir mikvos. There is no ir mikvos going on here. It's only to neck of amvat mitors kli. Ukim shat in masif zep mikvos. So his second shot is that the nekev was only Levat lo mitoras kli. Ah, so why do we call it Erev Mikvos in our sugya? So he says, V'had dekamer lo hasam, t'nan Erev Mikvos k'shver sa'no, v'av yuchalal k'shtez bo'os chosu lom koman, lo ma'isla el lemo min ashiur dishvafer sa'no kamahavi, lo ma'ayin shog is missing lin Erev Mikvos klau. He says, it was never an issue of Erev Mikvos. There was never an issue of Erev Mikvos here. So why did they quote the Mishnah of Erev Mikvos in our Sugya? They only quoted the Mishnah of Erev Mikvos in our Sugya, not because it was relevant, to teach us how big a Shofar Hanod is. How big is a Shofar Hanod? Right? Never an issue of Erev Mikvos. They only quoted Erev Mikvos for a side point. What was the side point? That Kishvoferes Hanod equals Shteyetzbaos. They didn't really mean to say this is the case of Erev Mikvos. This is not Erev Mikvos. This is Bittul Kli. But they just wanted to make a side point. This Bittul Kli Shvoferes Hanod. What if you don't have a node? What if you live in a country where they don't drink from nodes anymore? And you never put a Shvoferes in a node? How do you know how big a Shvoferes Hanod is? So they say, oh, from this other Mishnah of Erev Mikvos, which is not relevant, we can tell you that Shofar Hanod is two fingers. But really, there's no Erev Mikvos here. So we have then this fundamental stira. Is the Shofaris for Erev Mikvos or to break a Kli? Is it to break the Kli or to mix Mikvos? The Rash says, Machlokas. The Mishnah held that it was to break the Kli. The Brisa, which sounds awfully similar, but it's a different opinion quoted in Yivamos, holds for Erev Mikvos. Kedmish says, not Machlokas here, two Shofaris Yehus. One needed a hole for Bittul Kli, the other needed a hole for Erev Mikvos. And the second day of the Kesef Mishnah says, second answer, says no, there's only one Shokas Yehu, it was only for Bittul Kli. There was no Erev Mikvos going on all the Shokas Yehu. So why did they quote Erev Mikvos? for the side point, not to tell us we're dealing with Erev Mikvos. Just because if you want to know how many fingers the Sefer Hanot is, it only mentioned in the Mishnah of Erev Mikvos. So they only quoted the Erev Mikvos for the finger part, not because we're dealing with Erev Mikvos. None of these are the simplest pshat in the Gemara, points out the Brisker Rav, etc. Right? The simple pshat in the Gemara is dealing with the same Shabbat Yehud. And that it is Erev Mikvos. Right? And that it's not all of a sudden a new opinion we never heard of yet. The problem is...
Mishnah.
The problem is the Mishnah. What do you mean? Bittul Kli is not the same as... Bittul Kli is not the same as Erev Mikvos. Right? So, now this gets subtle. You could say this in probably... A million different subtle formulations. But the point is very clear. Simcha already anticipated it. The, well, actually, let me take this in two different ways. I think there can be two ways to answer hold on a second. All right, I might only be down to one way. Maybe based on the Ritva, you could have one way of answering. What does the Ritva say here? This is all the second day of the meter. So to see, who pairs Rashi, Dal, Evan, Kol, Mahi, Salah, Eva, Mim, Salah, Eva, Mikva, Shay, Love, Nekev, Kishma, Verse, and Mikva, Tara, and Nine, Shabbat, Who Bryce has stomach knock out, I feel a chuckle, so fuck you, Urkha, the Milsa. The Bryce has told me that even if you first made the trough and then cemented it in, which is the normal way to make troughs in the stone, they wouldn't usually dig them into the stone, says the Ritva. I don't know. But they would usually make a trough and then cement it in. The cane chicane afishum shuviishba. Besides the fact that it wasn't a sheer mikvah, it was also shuvim, because it was a kli. Dafil kli avanim kli glom. The harp soul feels like a mikvah. Even though kli avanim not a kabbal toma, it's still sheiva. Can isam nasnisa v'niach kelim tazat tzior umiu meiru mikvos zeh yishlo tarim misah. However, the same sheer of erev mikvos also takes care of the problem of shuvim. Karmina per kol merkodesh ma bilu hayu al gabi kelim ve'okimna shayosamach lem erev kishvofers hanod. That you're allowed to tovel in kalim. Let's say you put a big bucket in your mikvah, and then you put your forks into the bucket. As long as it's connected to the mikvah where kishon first, I know that is good enough. At least for not dealing with kutchim, etc. So what does the Ritva say? The Ritva says maybe there were two problems in this. Maybe there were two problems with the shokas yehu. A, it was a kli, and B, A, it was a kli, and B, it was also not 40 sah. So, if they made this reverse a note, and it solved the problem of shuvim, and it also solved the problem of, of kishvoferes, of not having shear, of erev mikvos. One second. So that's how the, I think, the Ritva doesn't say he's answering any questions, but I think the Ritva is a nice answer, that the one Shokas Yehu was a kli, and also, pachos, mimims, other ones are total in it. So, the same thing that made it Erev Mikvos also made it not a problem of a kli, because any kli that's in a mikvah, any kli that's in a mikvah or that's attached to a mikvah is no longer a problem of is no longer a problem of bein shuvim. The Rambam, he quotes, he doesn't quote Shokas Yehu, so we're not sure. Although he doesn't perish Mishnayos and Shokas Yehu. And in the perish Mishnayos and Shokas Yehu, he seems to talk about it as just a matter of Bittul Kli. The Rambam doesn't say much of Shokas Yehu, that's the problem. But he says, Lefisha, he us lo tishar kli. All he says that when Rishamish says yipachis rubo, then it's not a kli, it's not a problem she'uvin. The Rambam seems to be clear that he understands that it's just a problem of she'uvin. If it's just a problem of she'uvin, that's what the Kesem Mishnah said. So let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam seems to sound like the issue is just she'uvin. Now the problem is how to explain our Gemara without the Kesev Mishnah, right? If our Gemara really is talking about the same case at Erev and Erev Mikvos, how do you explain our Gemara without the Kesev Mishnah? And here, I will add one deal to what the Brisker Rav says, which this is the Mayim She'im Lom Sofis deal, but let's just look at the simple shot. Compare the Rambam Vav Gimel to Vav Dalet. Dal halokef ki gadol kum chavis gadol or reiv gadol of nikvo neker amitaru ukvo ba'arz vaso mikvo reiz a kosher. Yeah, if you want to put to cement a kli to the ground and put a kli in the ground, make it to a mikvah, you have to be make a hole in it the shear that's mitaret. How would you know if you wanted to ask the rabbi? How do I know what shear hole is mitaret? What kind of kalim? He would tell you look in. What? Hilchas kalim, right? You'll figure out. Now what's interesting, this is what all the Akron deal with, is that in Dal you said neck of a tyro. I mean, there's such a thing as everyone knows the shear of a neck of it's mavatal shem kli from everything. And there are many different shearing, right? Kikonis mashke, motzi mashke, and you know, and motzi zayis, etc. And Allah Gimel, he just said, Kishvah first hanot. You look at all of Hilchos Kalim, and what shear will you not find there? Kishvah first hanot is not a shear in Hilchos Kalim. So here's where all the Akron deal. Maybe the Rambam's talking about a kind of kli that wasn't in Hilchas Kalim and the shears are Shfaferis Hanod. Or maybe there's some other reason. Basically, all the Akron grapple with. Halacha Dalet, now there's a lot of differences between Gimel and Dalet. I'm not going into them now, and that's too hard for us. But Halacha Dalet, the Rambam has a very clear idea. There's a nekev hamataro. Hilchas Kalim says there's a haloshem kli. You make a nekev, you're a vatal kli. That's how you retire it. And we have rules for what's a vatal kli. And those are complicated rules, depends what the kli is made of, depends what it is, etc., etc. And I am Hilchas Kalim. All of a sudden, Halacha Gimel, the Shokes, the Rambam throws in Shofaris Hanod. Where did he get Shofaris Hanod if that's not a sheer bittel kli? So, the Kesem Mishnah assumes it is a sheer bittel kli. It's about bittel kli, right? Either it's bittel kli, it's a different Shokes here from Yevamos, or it's bittel kli, and Yevamos never meant Erev Mikvos. But says the Brisker Rav, he says no. Gimel and Dalet are different. Again, you'll come back and say, I haven't fully explained the difference in Gimel and Dalet. I'll say, I haven't even started to explain all the difference in Gimel and Dalet. I'm just pointing out this one deal. Then in Dalet, the Rambam acknowledges something called Nekev Hamataro. So what's Gimel doing there? We never heard of his Shofaris Hanod being Matara in a Kli. So is it that there was one that we never heard of, and then why didn't he put it in a general category? Now, so says explains the Brisker Rav, that the problem is she'iva b'kli. But the solution, halacha gimel, is not bittul kli. It's not bittul kli. But the solution, you want to know bittul kli? Bittul kli is the solution in halacha dalet. Neket hametaro, and then once you deal with neket hametaro, there's a difference between sin, and there's a difference between Sidabinyan, there's a difference between Gafsis and different kinds of Pekak, etc. The solution of Kishvoferis Hanod is not Bittul Kli. You know what? It might even still be a Kli when you make a whole Kishvoferis Hanod for all we know. It's not about Bittul Kli. Maybe it stopped being a Kli and less than that. Maybe it would take more than that to make it. But the solution of Shiva Bakli is not to be a Vata Bakli, but a Erev Mikvos. Now, this depends who's shot an Erev Mikvos. According to the Reeves shot an Erev Mikvos, that's not going to help. Erev Mikvos means joining the water. Just because I join the water here and the water there, how does that change the fact that it's a Kli? But if you understand, this is what Simcha was saying 20 minutes ago. If you understand Erev Mikvos is not about joining water together. Water is mitzurif mitofeach amenas latfiach. Erev mikvos is about joining two different areas together so they become one area. Saying that this area is really just a sniff of that other area. Whether it's breaking down the mechitza between two areas or just joining two separate areas. When you're ma'arev mikvos, then the water is not in the kli anymore. The water's in the mikvah and the kli's in the mikvah. And you know what? When you have a kli in the mikvah, that's no problem. I can take, we usually use something with a reshet or something, but you can put your silver in a bucket and tovel it in the mikvah. Oh, it's in a kli, it's she'uven? No, it's all in the mikvah. I know it's a kli. And that's what we call shita teva migdol. We paskin that, until the Rambam, a little later, Pregvav, if you have a shita teva migdol, you have a big chest in the yam, floating in the yam. Can you tovel things in it? You're rowing a boat, and you see a big metal box floating in the yam. So can I tovel my forks in it? So if I drop them, they won't go to the bottom of the yam? The answer is, if it's connected, kishofer, say, yo, I know what I can. What's the point? The point of that is that this kli, a kli is separate from the mikvah. A kli is not mikvah. Mikvahs are one thing or another thing. But if it's connected to Shver's Hayah, Hanot, it's not a vatal the kli. If I have a big metal box floating in the yam, it's connected to Shver's Hanot, it's still the same kli it always was. It just makes it part of the mikvah because it makes ma'ariv the two areas together. And I think based on the sheet of the table mikdal, which I didn't put on the sheet, I would say not exactly the simplest formulation that it breaks mechitzas, because over there it wasn't a matter of breaking mechitzas. Just a matter of like it's tilted a little. It's a matter of being ma'arev, not being ma'arev the mayim together. That's the fe'ram nas latvich, and that won't help. So the mayim's together, but it's in a kli. It's a matter of being ma'arev the two mikvos, being ma'arev two areas together. There's a mikvah and there's a footprint. Now the footprint becomes part of the mikvah, kishvoferes hanod. So there's a mikvah and there's a kli. The kli becomes part of the mikvah, kishvah versa no. Now, this is not exactly what the Brisker Rav says. He says it's a little more complicated. He says it's more about being like on part of the karka as opposed to mikvah, but the same basic idea. But Erev Mikvos, Rambam's version, which is saying that even if it is a kli, the kli is in the mikvah, so it's okay. Even if it, I don't care if it's kli, I'm not trying to be a vat to the kli. The problem is kli. The solution is not bittul kli. Nekav Mataru is bittul kli. The solution is Erev kli into the mikvah. Erev mikvah is Rambam style. And that's how he, again, I might be saying it in a slight, I'm definitely saying it in a slightly more simplified way than the Brisker Rav did, but fairly confident that I'm saying the same episode, and you can look it up and see all the complicated formulations, but I think putting two halves of the shear together, if you understand Erev Mikvos as a matter of defining the relationship between different receptacles in different areas, and saying that it looks like there's a mikvah and a footprint, but the footprint's a part of the mikvah. That's Erev Mikvos. Then the Rambam works out perfectly. The problem is Kli, not Memsah, or not Pachnei Yom Sa'ah, but the solution is not Bittul Kli, that's a different area of Halacha, that's a different angle. And the exact practical relationship between those angles, I cannot go into now, it's very, very complex. The solution here is Erev Kli L'mikvah, which is a din of Erev Mikvahs, Kishvafer Sanod, and not a din of Bittul Kli, where we never heard of Shofer Sanod in all of Hilchas Kelim. And that maybe is shot in the Rambam. Again, it's not my shot in the Rambam, it's my simplified version of the Brisker Rav shot in the Rambam. And that's a little bit of without getting into the Mayim Shilim, so the Pashup shot in our Sugya. I just want to take a minute in closing, but we'll pick up with, I still owe you the Makaros, the Gemara till the fifth word on Daf Tesayin, meaning all of Tesvav and Beis, and the issue we're going to deal with is the issue of Pagam. What is the status of Bnei Chayim V'Lavin? How bad is it to be Bnei Chayim V'Lavin? Clearly not Mamzer, we're not Rabbi Akiva Nix. But how bad is it to be Chayim V'Lavin? On Daf Tesvav and Beis, you have a whole Shaklataria and a clear decision that Bnei Chayim V'Lavin are Taka okay. Where we started today, and I said I would get back to the bottom of the Yudalim, it says Bnei Chayim V'Lavin are Pugim.
Then if you go a little earlier in Daf Yud Aleph Beis, it sounds different than that. And that's the issue which is discussed in the Tosos at the bottom of Tesvav Aleph Beis and Tosos on the bottom of Yud Aleph Aleph Beis and the Rishonim. And I'll give up then the important Rambam. And I'll give up Makoros on that, Amir Toshem, as soon as I can. But that's what we're going to discuss next time. Just with ending, I think it is interesting that we're osik in a little bit of a, I would say a taste of mikvaos. It's really just a taste of mikvaos. I do want to relate to the siren we heard before, the risk of repeating. But if you're going to repeat, at least repeat things that very smart people said. The Rav had a very, very famous drasha in Parshas Korach, where he discussed the relationship between, well, not directly, but between Yom HaShoah and Hilchos Mikvaos. His famous drasha on Parshas Korach, which is about, it wasn't about Yom HaShoah, it was about Tumah and Tumas Meis. but he pointed out that Tumas Meis is unique. One could quibble with him about the status of Metzorah, and we'll leave that on the slide for now. He did not put Metzorah with Meis there, but there are many, of course, halachically and Midrashim didn't do so. Leave that on the slide now. But the difference between Tumas Meis and all the other Tumos, he pointed out that the common denominator of all the other Tumos in the Torah is that what do you have to do to become Tahar? Just go to the mikvah. Right? You go to the mikvah to become tahor. You dip yourself into the mikvah. On the other hand, Tumas Meis, what do you need to do? You need, of course, the Zos Chukas HaTorah, the Para Aduma. And here I will even add one reference to the famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Mikvaos to what the Rav said. Just add one little half sentence. The Rav says, what's fundamentally the difference? He says, fundamentally the difference is two things. First of all, the mikvah. Even though the Rambam says at the end of Mikvos, all of Hilchos Tumah Taharah are chukim, but the mikvah makes sense to us as a cleansing process on various different emotional and physical levels. And the mikvah is something you choose to go into the mikvah, right? You go into the mikvah. You go to a nahar, you build yourself a fancy mikvah if you want. You go to a nahar, you go to a yam. There's no shortage of mikvahs around if you're not so picky. He says, what is Tumah? Tumah is negativity. And the velos and shortzim and zavim and needles and, you know, it's a lot of things that are not so pretty in life, you know, that are aesthetically displeasing. There are perhaps things that are morally challenging. There's a lot of displeasing things in life, but we have the power to overcome them. You decide to overcome them. You dip yourself in a mikvah and he says, how are we to deal with all the unpleasantness in life, all the things that are not pretty in the world? We get over them, we put ourselves in the mikvah, and certainly in the Rambam, the famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Mikvaos. What does the Rambam call Mikvaos in the famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Mikvaos? He says, you immerse yourself, in the Mei Hadas. The mikvah means you immerse yourself in the world with intellect, and you think about things, and you make sense of them, and you make sense of the world. You know, there's a lot of things that the Mei Hadas can deal with that. Use it. You don't have to, you could be lazy, you could do nothing about it. But it's in our hands to deal with, to grapple with, and to overcome. The Rav says, Tumas Meis is fundamentally different, right? Tumas Meis is fundamentally different, right? There's a lot of things that aren't pretty in the world, but Misa is more than not pretty. Death is, the Rav wasn't afraid of death the way some people are, like they're afraid they will die. The Rav's afraid of death on a much more existential level than that. The Rav felt that death mocked him. That it says, here's our whole life and our whole plans and everything, and it could just be cut off. It could disappear. People could be gone. That's it. That's very hard to deal with. There is no overcoming, right? In the simple sense, it's final in a way that nothing else almost is final. And like, how do you have your whole hopes in your life, etc., if anyone could die at any moment? And Kavachomer, talking on the national level, you know. How are we to understand and deal with, right? We can really explain the Shoah, right? We can make sense of it, put into rules of history, figure out how to overcome it. It doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't make any sense in a way that's just qualitatively even higher level, perhaps, than the mita of a yachid. So the Rav says, that's Zos Chukas HaTorah. It says, the Chukas HaTorah is not the red cow. What do you mean, Hashem's coming to give us red cows? No, the chukah is Yom HaShoah. The chukah is the Misa. That's what doesn't make any sense. Hashem gives us things that don't make any sense.
Not because he says, let me give you a Torah of things that don't make any sense. So he says, let me tell you what to do about things that don't make any sense that are built into the creation of a physical world. Right? It's not supposed to make sense to us. We're not supposed to be able to understand it. That's, he says, the real chukah is not a cow. That's the reaction. The real chukah is there are some things that we're just not meant to understand in life. If we understand them too well, there's something wrong with us. They're not meant to be understandable. They're not meant to make sense. Us. So what do you do? It says, that's the Torah says certain things are a chukah and we can't overcome them. We can't, the mehadat will not suffice. Rather, the Rav says, in paraduma, you need vehiza ha-Torah latame. You can't do anything about it. First of all, you don't necessarily have a paraduma. Even if you have a paraduma, you can't do anything about it, right? I can take a paraduma, sprinkle myself all day long, it won't help. Someone else has to come and save me. Vehiza ha-Tor al hatame. And the Rav says, ultimately, what does that mean? Ultimately, I can't overcome it. I can't deal with it. I can just be bewildered and view it as a chukah. The mehadat are not able to swallow it up, are not able to digest it, and it's left for some outside force that has to come in and provide an answer that I can't. And he says, ultimately, he's the ultimate tohor, he's a Torah Latame, he quotes the Medrash, this effect is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that's Bila Mavis Lanetzach Macha Shemo Kendim Yal Kalpanim. This is an halachic approach to suffering, what the Rav calls the theoretical approach to suffering. That ultimately, at a certain point, we have to say chukah, but v'hiza Torah L'tame, someday Hashem will defeat death. Someday Hashem will fix the world. Someday Hashem will explain to us what his plan for the world was and how it made sense in a way that we can understand without him coming in and explaining to us. Some things we have to leave as a chukah, as a tzarech ion, and have the emuna, v'hiza Torah L'tame, that Hashem has a plan for the world and Hashem will fix everything and everything will make sense someday, and we're not supposed to be able to access that. But Hashem will come and deal with the situation. And ultimately, I think that was the main approach of the Rav, what he considered a respectful approach to Yom HaShoah v'chuli. However, he pointed out in the same drush in Parshas Kukas once to the RCA that for Thomas Mace, you also need to go to the mikveh afterwards. You need the meipara v'izala v'yom ha'shlish v'yom ha'shvi'i, and you need to go to the mikveh. It says even when it comes to things that we don't understand, that doesn't mean we are completely passive and just sit and have faith alone and don't do anything. No, we have to make our human effort, even in things where we know we're not going to succeed. Because Hashem wishes that even when it comes to, we're not going to defeat death. There are things we could defeat. We defeated smallpox. We're not going to defeat death, even another 6,000 years of technology. But we have to do whatever we can to prolong life and to save people and to improve our quality of life. And we have to do what we can, even though ultimately we don't have the answer. And I think the same is true in Yom HaShoah. Ultimately, it's an enigma, and Zos Chukas HaTorah, it's a Chukas HaTorah, and only the Tohar, only the Hiza Tohar, can explain certain things. Nonetheless, we always like to take lessons, and we like to view it as part of history, and we like to see how it fits into this age of Jewish history. Even though it's a Chukah, that doesn't exempt us from the attempt to learn from it and to see where that means, what this means we should do moving on, and if we have, if we take Yom HaShoah, it's not just a day of remembrance, but it's a day of conclusions as well. It's a day of thinking about what it means responsibility for fellow Jews, and how Jews have to be responsible for one another, and particularly in the way we commemorate it. In Eretz Yisrael nowadays, Yom HaShoah is always the lead into Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaot, which is a historical Pshat, which the Rav dealt with, of course, in Kol Dovid Dofeik, but it's also, as the Rav dealt with in Kol Dovid Dofeik, and I won't repeat that now, is also telling us that perhaps our response has to be to rededicate ourselves to the welfare and the actus of Klal Yisrael, and to the fact that the way to avoid such chapters in do the best we can to improve Jewish history is to unite ourselves as one nation and to support ourselves as one nation and to and to appreciate the opportunities that God gives us to defend ourselves and to take responsibility for one another. So I think that would be the mikvah. We don't understand this, and you know what? We don't understand the way history works. We couldn't predict what will happen. We can't predict why, Bezrat Hashem, nothing like this will happen again or what we should do to prevent it. But nonetheless, we have to take the lessons we can and rededicate ourselves to the rebuilding and the strengthening of the Klal Yisrael, and particularly the unifying and the mutual responsibility of Klal Yisrael. And that's perhaps our little mikvah, what our Mei Hadas can suffice to teach us a little, whether it's a Keklipas HaShom or a Shofaris HaNov, whatever little lesson we can take out of that. But of course, recognizing that ultimately the real answer to Yom HaShoah is not Erev Mikvos, Shofaris HaNov, or any other shir. The real answer is those chukas haTorah, and that some things are the ultimate chuka.
Next week's schedule.
Next week is a very good point, because on Thursday,